You're listening to Anthropocene Radio, guerrilla news for climate justice at COP21.
Good morning, we are here at the Annex, a space where art and activism is converging for some months now here in Paris. I am talking with some of the people that live here, and one of them is Dot. I would like Dot to know what happened yesterday at the Annex. We already know that there was a raid, but we would like to know your personal opinion.
So I was woken up after 1 hour's sleep by somebody shouting, "The police are coming, the riot police are here." And we ran upstairs to go and pack our things, because I think we were all thinking maybe that we were going to try and escape before they came in, or... but by the time everyone had woken up, because we wanted to make sure that all of the people who were resting had time to get their things, or by that time that happened, then we were all gathered in this area just over here, which is like the breakfast area. Mm-hmm. And then two groups of riot police came in from two different directions. They were pointing rifles at us. They had live, I think they presumably had live ammunition, but we don't know that, but it looked very threatening. And they had also CS canister, gas canister launchers.
Yep.
Two officers. There were at least like 25 police, 30 police officers just on this floor. And I thought originally there was only maybe 50 in total, but I was told that there were 27 riot vans outside. Wow. And there were probably 150 officers altogether involved, because there were officers on the roof next door, there were officers on the ground surrounding the whole building. It was like a serious like war zone military operation. They came in, they made us stand for a long time waiting. Any attempts to try and communicate with them were ignored, or they just sort of stared at us. My friend tried to ask one of the officers if she could go to the toilet in English, and he said, "We are in France now, we talk French here, in French." So, which kind of put a perspective on what they were feeling. They basically made us move from, leave all our bags, come in here, this space here, and then we all had to line up against the wall. They took all our passports and IDs. They brought in sniffer dogs. They ransacked the building. They totally like went into every room. Everyone's bag was opened. All their stuff was thrown on the floor. They went into all the rooms and tossed all the beds. They turned over all the mattresses. They did get people to come in and witness them doing the search for some reason, I guess, you know, to check there was no misuse of power or something. I don't know. They wanted witnesses, and they did bodies. They did search people's bodies. A few people I spoke to, one female activist that was body searched. So it was very, they basically were treating us as though we were terrorists. I imagine that, you know, it was exactly the same behaviour or act, routine that they would do if we were an actual terrorist cell in operation. And you could kind of tell, not only with a lot of the officers were very new, by the way, they were quite hesitant in their movements. They didn't really seem to be very confident with using the riot shields or the batons. They were kind of a bit like, they didn't really know the routine very well. So we kind of came to the conclusion that it was basically a training exercise to try out, because they're bringing in many, many riot police from Marseille, from south of France, different towns. They're flying them into Paris en masse, and I think they just wanted to take out some new officers to do like a, this is what we're going to do if there's a real terrorist threat, you know. And but we don't know if they're even told whether we were a genuine threat or not. They were saying that oh yes, we know you're Black Bloc, which is, people listening don't know, means like, you know, violent anarchist people. And as you know, you can see walking around here, this is all like basically hippies with art. You know, this is not a place where we're like making bombs or like, you know, putting Molotov cocktails together in the basement or anything. It's just a place for making art and sculptures and costumes for street theatre and activism.
Did they say anything after leaving? Because they searched for explosive, of course, but there was nothing. So, did they make an explanation? Did they give an explanation to anybody?
One of the officers apparently said when they were looking through these rooms that they that they were looking for cocaine and ecstasy. which is a strange explanation to give for why they have riot police and sniffer dogs. I mean, sniffer dogs, yes, but riot police with full gear and rifles, and then they're apparently looking for drugs. I mean, and again, like, this has not been a party house, and there's, you know, there's very little noise coming in here, really, so it's kind of surprising that they would think that that was a possibility here. But no, they didn't really, you know, they didn't, of course, they didn't apologise for the inconvenience I was very, very frightened. You know, I've never had a gun pointed at me that close before, mm-hmm. not knowingly anyway. And for the first, 5-10 minutes, I was literally afraid for my life. I actually thought, you know, one of these guys, or not just for mine, but for anyone's, because I just thought these guys look like they're really new, they don't really know what they're doing. If one person makes the wrong move, they could start shooting, and God knows, you know. So I was very glad that I had my rucksack on my front, because I thought at least if somebody does shoot me, it might get stuck in my computer before it hits me. You know, the irony that they say, oh, we're looking for terrorists and they're the ones that terrorise us, and we're just, you know, asleep minding our own business, and then they come in here and scare the crap out of all of us.
Some people with whom I've talked to about the experience of yesterday that were here, my colleagues from Antropocene Radio that come from Ecuador, they were sleeping, same as you, no? When the police came. And yeah, they were thinking that the purpose was to terrorize us, maybe to make us afraid of doing anything, any action that we were planning for these days. And maybe, not having to face us on the street, because we would be so terrorized by them that we would do nothing. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's certainly, that's definitely probably one of the objectives of that operation was to, I mean, they've basically, I think they've now raided all of the major squats, I think. They've been into all of them. I mean, this is a new place, so this has only been open since August or something like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas some of the other places, like Clinique, I think it's been open 2 years, and a couple of other places have been open a longer time. So the police, they're kind of more of a known quantity to the police. They know the exits, entrances, they know who's in there, what kind of activity, whereas this was an unknown quantity for them. But the level of escalation they went to, you know, to like get teams to come across the roof and break in through the skylight, you know, I mean, that's what you do if you're expecting that there might be people trying to flee the building through the roof, you know, I mean, it's most likely that they were just trying to put the fear of God into us. But I think in general, because we realised it was basically a put-on, it was just to try and make us afraid, that actually that stopped us really being afraid at some point, because we thought, well, this is all just bullshit, you know, this is just for show. It's a show of force to try and say, oh, look, we are the police, we can do what we want. But I don't think it's going to have put anybody, I don't think it'll make anybody here less likely to want to go and do non-violent direct action. I think it's, if anything, it's given us more resolve to carry on and have more solidarity with each other, and, you know, to be more supportive, because we've all been through a very difficult shared experience. But we're kind of beginning of, certainly for me, this is like the second day I was here, this has happened. So to me, it seems very, very rude, discourteous, and immoral to try to make a connection between what we're trying to do, which is peaceful, which is to, secure all our futures, you know, to try and create a better world for everyone. We're trying to do that, and then trying to equate us with people that are trying to destroy the fabric of society and have no care for human life and have got absolutely no interest in the future because they're so little interest in the future they're willing to kill themselves because they don't even think they have a future. You know, that's, I think, in the fact that politicians are trying to make that equation is deeply concerning to me, because that argument is completely immorally void, you know. Anyone who's a member of the public, if you said, here's somebody who's trying to blow people up and here's somebody who's trying to like paint flowers on people's faces or like raise people's awareness about using carbon, you know, fuels, and you said, are these two people the same? Then people would say, like, no, of course, that's crazy. But the police and the political forces here are trying to tie these things together. The narrative in the press is, oh, the terrorists, you know, like environmental terrorists or, you know, whatever. This is a crazy... thing to do, and I think it will backfire on them, because I hope the public are not so stupid to really think that that's what we're like.
Okay, Dot, thank you very much for sharing your vision and your experience on the facts that are taking place here these days in Paris. Esther, you weren't on Lannex when the raid took place. You had a different experience. I would like you to tell us what was like to be on the street and then suddenly figure out that the house where you were staying and where you had all these things and your friends were was raided by the police.
Well, fortunately, yesterday we woke up very, very, very early and snuck out of the house while it was still dark. And so we weren't here. And I didn't actually find out about the raid for quite a long time, and the information I had was very limited because we were out doing other things. So at some point we received a text message saying that there were police at Lannex, but we didn't know they were inside. We definitely didn't know the extent of the action movie-esque stuff that was happening here. So I was concerned, but I didn't know there were like hundreds of riot police with guns pointing at my friends. So we decided it would be better just to carry on doing what we were doing and then to like come back and find out what was going on a bit later on. So we carried on, and then we found out that the police were inside and they were searching for whatever inside. They were looking through like everyone's stuff, and I think we were all very concerned for all the people that are here and for, you know, personal property like laptops and things that contain information, because we're all artists. It's all of your work. And to have such a horrible experience fairly early on in the time here is worrying, because we're trying to create something that's really nice and really quite safe and all about community and all about alternative solutions and alternative ways of creating a society that are much more positive. Mm-hmm. So for everyone to be confronted with something quite so aggressive was definitely very concerning. But I didn't even know until I came home, at which point the police were all gone, apart from apparently there were some outside in the street, but I didn't even see them. The presence was definitely gone. And we saw two people just before coming back into the house, and they explained that they had been like inside the house and coming in from the roof and pointing guns at people. It was really one thing that was really quite amazing was that everyone seemed really very positive and really okay. Because I think personally, if hearing about it, it made me think, oh, if I was in that situation, I might have completely freaked out. I've never had a gun pointed at me before in my life. Probably would have been completely terrified. But everyone seemed really okay. They'd been brought into the meditation space and told to sit down. So they'd all done loads of meditation together and had some really transformatory experiences about how important it is to continue a human relationship and to keep the human element very, very present in everything we do. Because what they were doing basically apparently seemed like they were dehumanising everyone, especially through not communicating with them. I'm very glad I wasn't here. but, you know, I'm glad everyone's okay.
Mona, you weren't here either, but you have a slightly different experience. What did you see? Where were you? What happened?
Yeah, so me and some friends, we woke up very early as well, and we were going to leave the house at around 7. And right around 7, someone started yelling in the house saying that there are police at the door. And there was a very high level of feeling of urgency in that moment. And my friend opened the door, and in fact, the police had made a mistake. I think these were the main officers who were leading the operation, and they made the mistake of parking right outside the house to begin with. So my friend opened the door, and the police said, "Oh, no, everything's fine. We're leaving. No, don't worry about us. And he said, okay, great, thank you, goodbye. And then they drove further on and parked 20 meters down the road instead.
Wow.
And this is, and we obviously didn't know what was going to happen, but we took the chance to leave the house when they were further down the road. And it was still dark, and we walked through the metro, and we saw more and more police, heavily, heavily armed police, all around the area, which is really unusual for this area. And we felt that, yeah, something wasn't right. But so then we left the area and to do a project. And just as we were going to begin the project, we got a phone call saying that there are riot police on the roof of L'Annex. And because a lot of the people in my group are very invested in this building, some of the people who opened it, it was very important for them to get straight back to the house. So some people went back in a car and they got there earlier. And when me and another friend arrived from the metro, we saw police guarding every corner of the block around the house. And there were trucks and trucks and trucks of riot vans, and it looked like I really felt like I was in a movie. It was mm-hmm. very, very crazy, and there was, it was very cold, and there was mist around, and it really looked like some sort of war scene. And we tried to walk to the house, and we walked down the road to the corner, and two policemen came up and asked what we were doing. We pretended not to speak French. They said that that the road was blocked, and if we wanted to walk, we had to walk around. So they blocked off the whole road of our building. And I just saw across the road about 20 of my friends lined up against the wall getting their IDs checked, mm-hmm. Guarded by police. They looked very miserable, cold, and quite hopeless. And it was... it was a crazy sight. These are, you know, like, you know, young, wonderful people in their 20s doing amazing creative projects who are standing there getting searched by the police for nothing, really. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then we decided not to make it known that we also lived there. So we went and sat in a cafe just around the corner and instead got to witness how much all the policemen needed to go to the bathroom, because this seemed to be the place where they all wanted to go do a poo, basically. So we were having tea while there was a line of heavily armed riot officers waiting to use the toilet, which was quite funny. But yeah, and then finally
they were sitting themselves. No?
Yeah, they were sitting themselves. but it was a very nice experience. We felt a lot of solidarity from the people who owned the cafe. They knew mm-hmm. that we were living there, and they were with us when there wasn't someone, a police in the room. We would talk about it, and the general local public seemed to be very much on our side, and they also felt that this whole operation was ridiculous and quite embarrassing. So that felt good. Mm-hmm. And they gave us free cake, which was nice. But yeah, and then finally, when we saw all the 27 vans leave with all the cops in, we went back to the house, and it was a very sort of delicate, fragile feeling in the building. But people were drinking tea, some people were drinking wine, eating croissants, giving each other hugs, and, you know, making sure that everyone was okay. So it was quite a nice moment, despite the event.
Mona, anyways, well, there are a lot of people coming from everywhere. After the declaration of state of emergency, you knew that maybe more, yeah, for sure, activists were going to be kind of pursued. Didn't you expect that this or something like this was going to happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I think at least this past week, so the raid happened on Friday. This past week, the week before, we heard about two other squats being raided. A few days earlier, we heard about three people from Climate Justice Action who were also raided and got electronic bracelets put on them, so they're in house arrest.
Mm-hmm.
So the tension was definitely rising. I realized that other people were very convinced that we were going to get raided. So it was always in the back of my mind, I suppose. And we took precautions by, you know, making sure that some of our projects wouldn't be damaged by a potential raid. So mm-hmm. fortunately, despite the raid, we were still able to do some of the projects that we had planned anyway, mm-hmm. even though we had to have a meeting to discuss whether we were in the right state to act. But we did, and I'm very glad we did, because I think the worst thing that can come out of a thing like this is that we start acting only from fear, and that we stop doing what we're doing, and that we just become passive.
I guess that you had a meeting after the raid, all of the people of Annex, and maybe you have taken some decisions about what's happening next, or even if you're cancelling or going on with all the projects, what do you plan to do? Is this raid affecting anything of what you're doing?
Well,
these days?
After the raid, we didn't have a big meeting with everyone in Lanex because we're around 70 people here at the moment. But
okay.
we did have a project-specific meeting and decided that it will go forward for whoever still feels comfortable. And that, you know, we are supportive of each other, whatever decisions we make. And but, you know, we shouldn't let something like this oppress us or suppress mm-hmm. our actions. I don't think that this will affect any of our plans, but rather it has actually created a stronger sense of community in the house. The will to keep the movement going, because it would be a terrible use of energy after a horrible terrorist attack for people to suddenly not want to make change happen anymore. It's the opposite effect of what we need. So no, we will keep on going and just remain very supportive of each other and make sure that we're also taking care of ourselves at the same time.
Okay, Mona, I wish you all the courage for all the things that are going on these days. And see you soon, maybe tomorrow on the Human Chain.
Yeah, great, thank you.
Help us to spread the word by tweeting this program.